Hello, everyone. I am Scott Spade. I'm the host of the Go Boldly podcast, and I'm truly excited today to have Austin Haynes on the line with us. Austin and I met back in the summer virtually, and really just have not been able to connect until today. And so I'm pretty excited to have you on, Austin. So welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be with you. I was excited to speak with you last time and really eager to connect with you again and converse about things that matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have got a lot going on, and you've definitely got you've been on a journey. I think you spent about 19 years with a Fortune 500 company, and we all know how stressful that can be. And so I'm not sure what's more stressful, working for a Fortune 500 company or being an entrepreneur. I think it's choose your heart, right?
Exactly. And I was in multiple sales roles and sales management. So you have this blend of feeling like an entrepreneur and being entrepreneurial, but ultimately your decisions get stifled because you have to report to a bigger structure, and you can get handcuffed and with a lot of bureaucracy and compliance and all the things that are becoming more and more relevant, or I should say magnified, in the business world, right? The larger a business gets, the more compliance they have to navigate through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you use the word relevant. Sometimes I wonder how relevant some stuff really is. And then the other word you use is compliance. Nobody, when the compliance officer comes around, everybody tends to hide under their desk and just...
It's true. But we get to be entrepreneurs. We get, as a solopreneur, entrepreneur, we get to have a little more flexibility in terms of our ability to pioneer and go boldly.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the world go round. And it's that entrepreneurial spirit that you stand for and that you're personifying through your journey and your platform here with the podcast.
You know, I was looking at your bio, and of course, I don't ever like to read bios because nobody wants to hear bios. But there's something in your bio that stood out to me, and that during your best year, you decided to resign and answer the call of your soul. Yeah. That, of all the stuff in your bio, that's what stood out to me the absolute most, because being a chaplain, being somebody that has been at the bedside of many people that have passed away, the thing that no one has ever said to me, and I've been at the bedside hundreds of times, no one has ever said, I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish, and I spent every moment that I wanted to spend with family, and I did everything that I wanted to do. And when I hear answer the call of your soul, that grabs me. That gets me. Tell me, yeah. speak to that.
I knew that there was never going to be a perfect time, and I spent a good portion of my life living for the future. And being on a quota for over 19 years, but being on a quota consistently for 19 years, you're always in a state of what's next.
Right.
The moments of achievement are fleeting. They float through your fingers. Your nervous system is charged with what's next. And finally, I was having my best year ever. Like I was on track. Like I was having a great year. I made in 6 months what I had normally made in a full year, just to give viewers an indication of it. And I was doing so well that I gave my notice in May, but I literally, my last day was July 3rd, because I had so many things working I had to wrap up, and they really didn't want me to leave. And so it's not like I left my job, you know, disgruntled, angry at the world. I left, I was flying high, I was offered promotions. But I said to myself, like, well, this is a weird comment, but I said, if the axe is going to fall, if something bad is going to happen, I'm going to be the one who chooses it. I'm going to bring chaos to my life. I'm not going to wait. And I resigned and I quit. And I went boldly because I knew it was never going to be the perfect time. And there
Wow.
was something deeper. And I want folk, listeners to know that Zig Ziglar has a quote, if you want to change your life, you need to do it immediately and flamboyantly, which sounds like a great quote and it is relevant, but I want the listeners to know that I had done a lot of work on myself and culminating into those last couple years leading up to it, there were some things I was developing a program. I was everything I was working on in my private endeavor, I practiced.
Right.
And I, as Jim Rohn says, I outgrew the desk. I couldn't stay anymore. I had to go. And so I jumped. And that's what caused me to make that decision and answer the call of my soul.
You are quoting some of my favorite speakers and authors and entrepreneurs. And something that came to mind as I heard you speaking, I think too often people are running away from something instead of running to something. And I think it sounds like you began to realize that you needed to run to something in order to, and that's different than working for the future. I get that because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. And
Right.
yet what have you accomplished? You're making a ton of money. If you don't have time to enjoy it, if you don't have time to enjoy life, what difference does it make?
Right. And a lot of us live that way, and it's like, what garden are you growing?
Yeah.
And what I mean is, like, folks have aspirations, but their obligations drown out their aspirations.
Yeah.
And the garden they're growing is pay the bills, take care of family. And they never be even begin the garden of aspiration. The aspiration is in the garden of someday. And what I started to do before I left my job, I started to grow the garden. I started to plant the seeds and water and fertilize it first. And that's a really key distinction. Now, some folks are walking around, they don't even know what garden to grow. And but there's so much available, Scott. I know you do a lot where people can begin to access. They don't have to make a radical decision tomorrow like I did, although some people might need to do that, right? It's
Yeah.
everybody's journey is relative to them. But listening to shows like this, your podcast is a great way to stay plugged in and begin to cultivate. In the midst of not knowing what to do next, just keep listening, right? Just keep listening to this podcast. And as you listen, something, it's an impossibility, like something is going to be revealed to you. It
Yeah.
may not just be in your time.
Absolutely. You talk a lot about poetry and your soul and your poetic journey. I love this. The boundless realm of words, where the spirits of great authors and poets reside, contains the intro to Austin J. Haynes's transformative journey. Like Robert Frost, he breaks free from the binds of the status quo, embracing a path less traveled. Whereas Walt Whitman's whisper reverberates, in the midst of society's clamor, he seeks solace in Thoreau's wisdom, finding the courage to live poetically, present, deeply connected to the universal sources of nature. With the ink of his pen, he sows awakening seeds of infinitude. I love that. That is awesome. Cultivating conscious moments that ignite like flashpoints, illuminating in his existence, and kindling fires of awakening others. That is freaking powerful.
It's surreal just listening to you read it back. I'm a college dropout. I didn't read a book cover to cover till I was 21, because I just was getting by. I was using Cliff Notes. I was doing all the things just to get by. And that's why now it's just made me a believer of all things are possible at any given moment in a person's life. In the midst of your greatest confusion, chaos, loss, trauma, there's stuff going on. Nothing operates in a vacuum. And so now I become this like employee to poet, and it's amazing, you know, and just, it's just, you know, I'm just humbled by it, really.
So as I, something that just kind of hit me, that how many people have you talked to that something beautiful came out of chaos, trauma, something negative, an accident?
Yeah.
So many people, that's when they find their soul, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That's when they find who they truly are. And going back to that, are you running from something or are you running to something? And I think that's the mistake that people make, is they're too often running from something, but they don't know where they're going. Right. And entrepreneurs get stuck when they leave a job because they're running from the job, J-O-B, versus running to entrepreneurship or running to their purpose in life. And there's, you know, how many books have been written about finding your purpose? I mean, hundreds, right? But when it comes right down to it, so many people, I think they're afraid of that because they look at it and go, there's no way I can monetize that. There's no way I can live on my, what I love and what I'm passionate about and that purpose.
Yeah.
I'll say that where there's an opportunity, there's a way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Talk to me about how you use poetry to influence and what you're doing with that.
Well, I'll go back because I wrote this book called Flashpoint, Manifesting the Moment of Your Big Breakthrough. And this was a book that detailed the journey of creating a breakthrough. And it was endorsed by Damon John from ABC's mm-hmm. hit television show Shark Tank. He literally endorsed this book. And literally 6 months after he got the book, he launched a podcast called The Moment. And I was like, well, I can't prove it, but manifesting the moment of your big breakthrough. But anyway, it was a great piece of breakthrough that I had. And the reason why I'm sharing this book with you is because it's a great book. It talks about the polarity principle. It talks about what you just mentioned of the trauma that, I say, your darkest day can be turned inside out.
Yeah.
And this book is like a field guide, if you will, to give one the perspective and the awareness to embrace it all. But what's interesting, the last page of the first version here, which I'm holding, there's a poem called The Jump. And the poem, I say I wrote the poem, but the poem came out of me when I reflected back on leaving my 19-year corporate job. At this juncture, if you would have said you're a poet, I would have said no. Poetry was an afterthought. But yet this poem came out. And I shared this poem publicly, and one of my clients, the poem alone was the catalyst for him to quit his job and go full-time entrepreneurship, the poem wow. alone. And then, so this poetry seed of infinitude was growing, and I couldn't deny it anymore. And since then I've written, I don't know, 40 poems, probably more. And that's why I say employee to poet. And I'm doing this poetic experience. There was a press release that just went out about it. It's really exciting. It's beyond, and that's the thing about it. And that's why I quote Henry David Thoreau, who was just up in Concord, Massachusetts this year. And, you know, when you lean into that calling, you know, you pursue your highest endeavor, you will meet with unexpected success in common hours.
I've got your book, The Turnaround Story Starts Here.
Oh.
And there's a place in here that I have come back to several times. I've got it on Kindle, so I don't know if it's page 10 for me on Kindle. I don't know if it's the same page Also, I do understand that some situations are extremely hard to face. I also want to be honest with you so you can grow. The only way to fully reach your flashpoint is to embrace the pain of what was or what is. Can you fully embrace what has happened or what is currently happening in your life? If so, you are on your way. If you cannot at this time, I understand. And here's the part that really stay with this journey. Your opportunity to embrace the pain will come.
Yeah, that's
That
awesome.
sums up what so many people are facing right now.
Yes. I mean, and just full transparency, if we understand that we've been programmed to manipulate things. We've been it's take a pill. Tips,
Yeah.
tricks, hacks. And there's a place for all of that. But when things become out of balance and we think that that's always the thing, then we never sit with what is
Yeah.
and we remain stuck. It's like being stuck in quicksand.
I read an article one time, to your point, of a rabbi that was a hospice chaplain. He worked with hospice organization, which can be very stressful. It can be very, very difficult. But he was forced to take some vacation time. And so we went to the hot springs in Arkansas to one of the spas. And he went and got in the spa, and about 5 minutes later he gets out. And the staff there were like, "Sir, you got to stay in order to go through the entire process." And so he goes back, he stays about another 2 or 3 minutes, and he gets out again. They said, "Sir, you've got to stay in order to go through this." What he realized was, in those moments of being alone, he didn't like himself. He didn't like who he was. He didn't like being alone with himself in that moment. And I think if a lot of us are honest, being quiet, being still, slowing our mind down, being quiet in a room by ourselves is very difficult. And
So
I
true.
think when we learn to be honest and face who we are, poetic opportunities come up.
Beautiful. Well said.
These come up. Is poetry something that you've always kind of leaned towards, or is it something that you found the older you got that just really helped you to connect with who you are?
Poetry was never on my radar. I mean, I read poetry before. I've always been a huge fan of music, and I'm able to draw poetic overtones from music. But no, poetry again was not even on my radar. It's a shocking discovery. And again, it's proof to me that every person has something they may not even be aware of right now. And the
Isn't
only way to discover it is to begin to go down your road, to step. And you may say, I don't know what that is. What's the next logical step? What's the step that feels right to your soul?
yeah.
And if you step in a direction and it doesn't feel right to your soul, a lot of times our head goes, well, no, we got to go down this way. But if it doesn't feel right to your soul, don't go down. Keep stepping until the one that ignites.
Yeah.
And, I just had this experience between in the last 24 hours. Literally, in the last 24 hours, I was in my head, and then I created this graphic, which I did today. And that's what you got, the poetry and presence. And something just, again, clicked. So the process is ongoing. Again,
Yeah.
you never arrive. I think it's important for me to share this because you never arrive. It's these moments of embracing, they could be in a moment, 10 minutes, an hour, a day, a season, a decade. Like we don't know. And I think it's just being open and trusting. You know, I have a spiritual beliefs. I say, matter of fact, last night, I trust in God, trust what you cannot see, and be willing to do it over and over and over again.
And that's the basis of Go Boldly, is based on Genesis 12:1, where God told Abram to go to the land that he would show him. He didn't say which land. He didn't say how many steps. He didn't say how many miles, how many kilometers. He just said, go. And we have to, that takes being bold. It takes taking a risk. And that's exactly what you did, leaving a very secure financial situation.
Yeah. 1,000%. And it's when you change, it's, you know, you sometimes you lose people.
Yeah.
I maybe could count on one hand somebody reached out to me from my former life.
Wow. You know, I'm in
people,
the
people that I had spent the better part of a decade with, Scott, right? 15 years. I leave. My phone doesn't ring. Not a peep, man. Like, and at first I was kind of like, wow. But then I said, no, that's perfect, because that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah. I just had this same conversation yesterday. So as many of the listeners know, I'm a chaplain in the Army Reserves. I'm in Germany. And as a soldier, no matter how valuable you think you are, you can be replaced within 48 hours.
Right. Exactly.
There will be somebody sitting in your seat 24 to 48 hours from now. They will have somebody moved and transferred over.
I'll go you one deeper since we're talking about this. And by the way, I have peace with my journey. I helped a guy get hired. I taught him, gave him tips, groomed him to take my position, lobbied for him to take my position. We went to lunch. He never even bought me lunch. You know, walking into a six-figure job that, you know, and I said, you know what, it's okay. It's okay. And so I basically allowed that, you know, not allowed it, but I mean, I knew I was leaving. And, but I have peace about it. Everybody's on their journey. And I say, nobody owes me anything. You know, I had 19 great years with that company. I have lots of great memories, so many great things to be celebrated. But it also, you know, puts into perspective, like you said. I mean, you know, I had gone to, I can't tell you how many going away parties. Like, people would be at the company for 5 years, 10 years, and I would go to these celebrations because they were leaving.
Yeah.
And in 19 years, I leave and I get nothing. Wow. Nothing. I'm like, so I said, all right, well, this is just, you know, it's just proof that you're doing the right thing. That's all. So it's all good.
And that's, and unfortunately, it's the way that it is sometimes, but I love the way you think about it, the way you looked at it.
Yeah.
Like, this is just confirmation. This is confirming.
Exactly.
I'm headed in the right direction. And, you know, who do you like to help? Who do you love to just connect with?
I love to help solopreneurs, middle age. So I've coined this my midlife oasis. This is my midlife oasis story, employee to poet. But what I get hired for is what people reach out to me for is usually clarity on direction. Mm. They want to make a decision. I've worked with multimillionaires to launch their brand. I've worked with couples on the verge of divorce. And I have a knack, because I spent so much time in a sales role and working with thousands of people, thousands of cold calls, proposals, appointments, I've developed this ability to get to what's true, to get to what's clear and help people get clarity. So I have this thing right now I'm doing, it's just a free clarity session where I, you know, I guarantee within 15 minutes or less, you're gonna get clear on a key area of your life. And I just wanna serve folks that way, because as much as I love poetry, I also realize that I've accrued a lot of ability over these that time and tenure, and I can help people. So I'm going to do it. So the people that reach out, I'll help. Wow. But, you know, not everybody reaches out. And you know, I think when somebody does reach out, I want to honor that and help them.
How can our listeners find you? Where can they, I know you're on Facebook, where else can they connect
easy.
With you?
Easy. I made this really easy. If they go to austinjhaines.com, AustinJhaines, everything's there. All my social media handles, the press release, the free clarity session, booking link, like it's all in one place. I started this poetic blog. They can go read that. Everything's right there. So it makes it real easy for folks to connect with me.
So I'm wondering, Austin, when someone connects to you kind of externally through your poetry, what do you feel like they're gaining through that process? If that question makes sense, like they're not connecting to you directly, but they're connecting with you through your poetry. What has been your experience with people that have connected through your poetry that's kind of helped them to gain? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I literally, I just finished the website, and on the website, I have a couple, literally testimonies, because I had started this at another event. It was called the Holistic Health and Healing Expo. And we had a couple folks, I didn't even know these people. They showed up, and one person, this gentleman showed up with his wife, and he said, I felt like, quote, I felt like something deep inside me was unlocked today. Must have changed my aura, close quote. Another woman said, quote, Austin helped liberate a voice today, close quote. And these are people that had attended the event. And I have other, you know, like I said, the one gentleman quit his job, and it just, again, is shocking to me that this kind of result, this kind of experience people are having through this. And in the last 24 hours and talking with you today, I feel even more on purpose about what it's going to do, you know, and how it's going to impact the world.
You know, I don't think people realize how powerful poetry can be, how powerful words in and of themselves can be. When I first started coaching, I was doing some work with Dan Miller, who wrote the book 48 Days to the Work You Love. And that was years ago. And I remember Dan saying in the book and in some other times that I've been around Dan, he kept saying, when you're trying to find your purpose, ask yourself, what do people come to you for?
Exactly.
What are people coming to you for? And therein lies your purpose.
I say that to my clients. I have a private community called ACT, Accountability Community, and Accountability Community Coaching Transformation. And I say that all the time. What is your phone ringing for? Who is texting you, and what do they want from you? What do they want you to do?
Yeah.
Follow that path.
Yeah.
So it's spot on.
Yeah, I love it. And Austin, you've made me want to go and read some of your, you know, additional poetry. I want to get the other book and just really connect on a deeper level. And I would love for my audience to connect with you, because I think that, you know, you can bring some clarity to them that many are struggling with right now, especially post-COVID. And a lot of people just trying to figure out, you know, do I work for somebody? Do I work for myself? Do I go to the office? Do I stay home? Which way do I go? What do I do? And I always ask people, what keeps you up at 2 a.m.? Because that's where you need the most clarity around. What are those things that are looming around in your mind at 2 a.m. that are keeping you awake? And I think you are the perfect opportunity for many of these people to find that purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just point people to, if you go to my YouTube channel, which is on the website, austinjhaynes.com, you'll see some of this poetry I turn into cinematography.
Wow.
So you can capture some of it. It's up there. And I don't just use my poetry, I use other people's poetry as well. But there's a good portion of mine up there. You can check it out. And there's some live poetry readings. I highly recommend it.
Awesome. Well, we'll have all that in the show notes. And man, I am excited to connect with you again. And you inspire me. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, and I want to encourage everybody to stay plugged into what you're doing and go boldly.
Let's do it. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.